Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. No place was found for them. I saw the dead. Now, it's been about 100 times minimum, maybe 1,000 times. I've heard pastors read this passage, and when they get right there, I saw the dead, and that will be only lost people. And almost every time I think, how do you know that? I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, and then whoever's preaching this will say, nobody is there whose name is written in the book of life. Because if they had been here, they wouldn't have been in the millennium. And certainly every Christian will be in the millennium. And my response to that when I heard it was, how do you know that? It seems like, just reading this logically, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, that means there should be some people there whose name was written in the book of life. Kind of seems like that. It's assuming that there would be some there whose name was written in the book of life. The ones who weren't, they were thrown into the lake of fire. That's ever, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever without end. How do you get written in the book of life? By faith. Faith alone. When you believe in Jesus, when you trust Him as your personal Savior, your name's written in the book of life. And so at this judgment, this is after the millennium is over. After the millennium is over, this event occurs. Remember, we read it at the very beginning, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Now we're in chapter 20, verse 10 through 15. This great white throne judgment occurs. The dead are raised, those who are in Hades, the dead, those who didn't see, they're raised. There's a judgment takes place. If their name is not found written in the book of life, they're cast into the lake of fire. Those whose name is found written in the book of life don't go into the lake of fire, but they go into heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now, I don't plan on being here. If I make it into the millennium and rule with Christ for 1,000 years, at the end of the 1,000 years, when the devil is turned loose for a season, a short amount of time, and people rebel against the leadership of Jesus, during the 1,000 years, there will be babies born. There will be commerce, there will be industry, there will be education, the population explosion will be phenomenal, but because everything is good, it won't matter. And they will be forced to obey Jesus during the millennium. He will rule with a rod of iron, and those in the church that have been faithful will rule with Him. But those who are forced to obey Him during that 1,000-year period, at the end of the 1,000 years, when the devil is released for a short season, will rebel. It says the number is like the sand of the seashore. They say, okay, we're going to rebel against Jesus. And they do, and then, poof, that's when the end comes, everything is destroyed, new heavens, new earth, and the great white throne judgment happens and occurs. And people are judged, they're thrown into the lake of fire, or they enter into eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. If I make it into the millennium, I'm not going to be at this judgment. But those who are at this judgment will be the ones who didn't make it into the millennium. And there will be many of those who are judged here, and their name is written in the book of life, and they will enter into heaven, eternity, forever. Number 16. Most Christians today would define the word salvation only one way. Salvation from penalty of the lake of fire forever. Every time they read save, salvation in the Bible, always this, always this, always this. If you do that, you will be very confused. 17, the failure to distinguish the uses of salvation has resulted in great confusion and debate over the years. The failure to distinguish the uses of salvation has resulted in great confusion and debate over the years. Sometimes the word in the New Testament is used to be saved from the power of sin. Sometimes it's used to be saved into the millennium. Sometimes it means to be saved into eternity forever and ever and ever and ever. The requirements in each use of the word are different. And if you lump them all into one, you're going to get confused. Okay, don't put 18 up there yet, Ms. Krause. This next one is sort of the pivotal point. It's what we've been working for. You've heard me say it, but now you're going to see it in writing. And for some of you, it's just going to... Oh, it's just going to create all kinds of agitation. So I'm just preparing you for it. Take a drink of water. Relax. Unclench your fists. Relax. You know, kind of just like that a little bit. Here we go. Okay, ready? 18. Christians who are judged to be unworthy of entering the millennium will spend that 1,000 years in Hades. Now, this is not Christian purgatory. Purgatory is for lost people, for them to earn their salvation into heaven for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now, if you don't particularly like this idea, let me give you the alternative. The alternative, if you take and are going to be honest with the Bible, is that you're going to be an Arminian. Now, an Arminian believes that you're going to go to hell, the lake of fire, for all eternity. Now, personally, if I'm going to be a little short on works, I just assume be 1,000 years. Not forever, never, 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 never. I don't know if you can choose a third option if you're really faithful to the Word of God, if those passages in Galatians, and what happens is when you're a Calvinist, often you just kind of explain them away by this statement, well, if you really were a Christian, then you will be good. And if you really weren't, then you won't. See, what that means is you don't know whether you are right now or not. Are you a Christian? Well, I hope so. We can't know until you get to the end of your life whether you're going to persevere for the end of your life, because if somewhere along the line in your life when you get to be 70 and flick it in, that means you never were at the beginning. So that's the only way you can fix these verses. Now, if you don't like this 1,000-year thing, then you go for the eternity thing. I just soon be there 1,000 years. You got an end in store. So I'm going to heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's by faith and faith alone, apart from any works of righteousness. Believe in Jesus. That's all it takes. Receive Him as your personal Savior. Recognize He died in your place, paid the penalty of your sins, receive that free gift, your sins are forgiven, and you go to heaven for all of eternity. But now we have the millennium, 1,000-year period of time, ruling and reigning with Christ. It's the gift of God to those who have lived their life faithfully. It's a gift of God to those who have lived their life faithfully. Those who have not do not get that gift. If they do not go into the millennium, then where do they go? Now, one of the things, the options that you have at this point, is that they would go into a soul sleep. Be like going to sleep, taking a nap. And if you would sleep for 8 hours, you wake up, it's like nothing. Now, that's a view that some hold. Another view is that in the millennium, this is the view I held up until a year ago, is that in the millennium, there is a place that's on the outside looking in, as it were. You're not in close proximity to Jesus. In the millennium, they're going to be Christians. That's where they are. They're sort of outside looking in. They're not real near Jesus. They don't get any jobs to do in the millennium. They're not really ruling with Him. They're not having any fun in the millennium, but they're in the millennium. Jody Dillow, who wrote the book, The Reign of Servant Kings, fascinating book, beautiful book, well-done book, about judgment, eternal rewards, well done. He believes that the parable of the talents, the guy who was cast into outer darkness is in the millennium, but you are on the outside looking in, you're excluded from real fellowship with Jesus, you're not giving any significant work to do in the kingdom. And that's where I were until I just kind of collected all this information. I thought, wow, it seems like it's a little heavier than that. So if you don't like that statement there, you've got a couple of other options you can take. Matthew 5:19, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, But whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. There can be a vast difference in the kingdom of heaven from top to bottom in quality of life. There will be dead last, there will be top person, great responsibility. And Jesus is saying in the kingdom of heaven there's going to be those who are least, no rewards, little responsibility, no relationship with Jesus, those that are great in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. How do you get into the kingdom of heaven? By works. He says here, your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, or you're in a heap of trouble. You shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. I'm thinking that the 1,000 years is not 1,000 years for everybody. You stand at the judgment seat of Christ, there is reward and there is consequence. And that's going to happen for all of us. We're going to stand before Jesus. We're going to be held accountable for the life that we've lived as a Christian. And I think this statement would suggest that the length of time that you're in prison will vary. The consequence of what you have done with your life and the rewards will vary from person to person. So the two ways of looking at it is in the 1,000-year period, some will receive a lot of torment. That's you, Christians. 1,000 years being tormented because of your unfaithful living. Some will receive not as much. Or the length of time that you're there could be shortened. Some could be there 10 years, some could be the full 1,000, depending on how you've lived your life. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out, throw it from you. For it is better that one part of the body, parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. That's Hades. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What does it take to go to heaven forever and ever and ever and ever? You just say, Lord, Lord. I believe in you, Jesus. You died for me. Easy. Piece of cake. Now, we're not talking about getting to heaven forever and ever here. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So you get into the kingdom of heaven by works. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Where? Hades, you who practice lawlessness. 2 Timothy 2:11, it is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Not talking about heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it. Huh? Wasn't Paul a Christian? When he wrote the book of Philippians? He said, I haven't obtained it. I've not already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Does that sound like grace to you? I press on toward the goal? No, he's not talking about getting into heaven. That's by grace and grace alone, apart from any works. He's talking about the kingdom. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. Worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. Do you got to suffer to go to heaven? Heaven is free. Absolutely free. Matthew 25:14, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey. Now, I did this one already, but because this is the key passage in this struggle of mine, we're going back and looking at it again now that we've gone over this information. It's the parable of the talents. Man, that's Jesus, he goes on a journey. He calls his own slave, that is his own slaves, those who belong to him, not false Christians, real Christians, entrusts his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Each according to his own ability, he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, gained 5 more. Same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more, but he who received the 1 talent went away, dug in the ground, hid his master's money. His master's money, we're talking about Christian here. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. He will do that with each of us at the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will stand before the Lord Jesus and give an account of our life, and we will be rewarded, and we will suffer consequence for how we have lived our life. Settled accounts with them, and the one who had received the 5 talents came up, brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one who had received the 2 talents came and said, Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master, that is, enter into the millennium, the kingdom. And the one who had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid. How many Christians waste their life because they're afraid? And went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. His master answered and said, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow, gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him. Give it to the one who has the 10 talents, for to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that verse right there, I believe, is a very real possibility for every Christian. Every Christian who does not live their life faithfully, every Christian who does not bear fruit for the Lord Jesus, someday standing at the judgment seat of Christ, may very well hear Jesus say, cast them out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is a possibility for me, that's a possibility for you. That would be said to us. Now, the good news is it's only for 1,000 years. Not forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But there is the possibility, in fact, I think probably percentage-wise, there are going to be many more Christians who are going to experience that than who hear, enter into the joy of your master because of the absence of faithfulness. Matthew 8:11, I say to you, that many shall come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's a description of the millennium. In the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:40. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom. Out of his kingdom, all stumbling blocks, those who commit lawlessness, will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 19:23, Jesus said to his disciples, Truly, I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. We're talking about the millennium. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, Then who can be saved? Not saved to ever, forever and ever and ever and ever, but saved into the kingdom. And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 25:1-13. The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy, began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, Behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, saying, No, there will not be enough for us and you two. Go instead to the dealers, buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, into the millennium, into the kingdom. And later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered and said, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, you do not know the day nor the hour. Matthew 24:44. For this reason, you too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming, my master is part of the household of God, my master is not coming for a long time, and shall begin to beat his fellow slaves, eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour which he does not know, and shall cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping shall be there and the gnashing of teeth. He will be with the hypocrites, or we might say he'll be assigned a place with the lost. Matthew 22, 2 through 13, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. The king being God, the son being Jesus, there's this feast. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying to those who had been invited, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted livestock are all butchered, everything is ready, come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if we took the time, wedding clothes is a reference to our righteousness. Our righteousness, our good works. Luke 13:23. Someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? Remember the word saved? Used three ways. So we look at that and we say, okay, which way is being used? And he said to them, strive, strive, strive. Enter, work, work hard. To enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open up to us, then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, you taught in our streets, and he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being cast out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. Behold, some are last who will be first, and some who are first who will be last. Revelation 2:11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. 1 Corinthians 3:15, if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved forever and ever for all of eternity, yet so is through fire. Yet so it's through fire. Isaiah 5:14, therefore Sheol has enlarged its throat and opened its mouth without measure, and Jerusalem's splendor, her multitude, her din of revelry, and the jubilant within her descend into it. Isaiah 5:15, so the common man will be humbled and the man of importance abased. The eyes of the proud also will be abased, but the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness.